Thank you, Brother Danny, for leading the singing and sharing this
with us today. So much flu going around, it's kind of tough to get people to sing. We greet you in the name of Christ this morning. Good to see you. We're excited about sharing the gospel with you. But I want to share this one story about Brother Douglas, your grandfather, about it. And when I was saved here at 11 years old, when I come forward under conviction, the old church, they had a few pews crossways here. Y'all remember that? And Brother Douglas was, there wasn't about two or three seats. He was sitting there with him. And I remember when I made, I guess you could say when I made my run for it, Brother Douglas hollering out, "Amen." I know, I remember that just like it was yesterday. Brother Douglas. And it was a Saturday on a revival, and he'd come to be with us on that day. So hopefully, if you're not saved today, you will make a run for it. I did one day, and I've never regretted that. Amen. I wanted to talk to you about today. Last week, we had Communion Sunday, the Lord's Supper, and we tried to teach. We take for granted sometimes, because we've been doing this a long time. I was 11 years old. That everybody knows the tenets of the gospel and the things that we do, and we just take for granted. And sometimes a generation grows up maybe seeing us do these things and all, but that they don't understand why we're doing them, what the purpose is, and sometimes they don't know what to do. Now that's where we come in. As the Church of Jesus Christ, it is especially my duty as a pastor to tell people what to do, amen? But it's the job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel, amen? Can I hear amen? It's the job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel, all of us together. And we're tasked with a very important job today because these are challenging times, to say the least. Very challenging times, but yet we are tasked with the task of telling people what they need to do. And today I want to share a couple of things that everybody needs to know. And it's our business to tell them these things because they don't know. Oh, everybody knows these things. No, they don't. Well, they ought to. Maybe they had. But they don't know. And so it is our job to tell them. All right, we're going to be reading from the book of Acts, just one verse, and then we'll come back and look at the text and those verses. But in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, the book of Acts is the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, and the development of the church, the spread of the gospel. And they had a method, and we do well to follow their method and their plan. They had a plan, and that plan was to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the church went worldwide, and it spread like wildfire. And the disciples were accused of those who have turned the world upside down. We're not doing too much turning the world upside down today, but we're supposed to be at it. Okay, one verse to get to our text this morning. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is a man who asked the question who didn't know what I have to do to be saved. Often we hear younger people, but a lot of older people won't ask you this, but some of our young children begin to ask us, how do I get saved and baptized? You know, we take it for granted that maybe our children don't know that, and sometimes we don't know how to respond to that. But there are a lot of people, even adults today, who do not know, how do I get saved and baptized? Well, you know. Well, no, they don't know. So with the help of the Lord today and through the Word of God, we're going to try to show you, if you don't know how to be saved and how to go about being baptized, if you don't know how to help somebody who asked you that, we're going to try to answer those questions today. How do I get saved and baptized? Everybody deserves to know the answers to that. Did you know that? We believe as General Baptists in a general atonement, we believe that Christ tasted death for every man. That means that they all have a right and deserve to know. Now, how they respond is between them and God. But everybody needs to know these things. How do I get saved and baptized? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your blessings today, for allowing us to be here and these fine people who have gathered here today in the name of Jesus. For those who are watching and some listening on the radio, we pray, Lord, that everybody today will know when we leave here today the answer to these questions. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as a church to understand that it is incumbent upon us to see that people know these things. Dear Lord, it is our business to tell them and to teach them and to guide them into the truth, for you tasted death for every man, not just those that we would pick and choose, but for all people. The gospel is for all people. Now, Lord, I pray that you would meet our several needs, our every needs that we gather here today, Lord. Different struggles for different people, some watching, some here, some listening. Lord, we pray for the healing of Jesus to be present. We pray for the lost to be saved and the church to be revived and blessed. And bless your name today, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. What must I do to be saved? Now, I'm going to share this story with you, but I want you to know right off, Paul and Silas didn't say, well, you ought to know. Well, you know what to do, don't you? Because they realized, no, the man doesn't know. He is an unbeliever. He is a Gentile, and this is in Philippi. The church that Paul established in Philippi is the first church on the European continent. Isn't that amazing? The first church in Europe here. Maybe this Philippian jailer was one of the first members. And Lydia, I believe it was. There's some more over there. But anyhow, Paul and Silas had come to the continent of Europe bringing the gospel after they had spread it through Asia Minor and Asia. And they resorted to wherever there was enough Jewish influenced people to begin to work with them. There was no synagogue in Philippi, and that means there has to be 10 Jewish men, males, to constitute enough people to have a synagogue. They had no synagogue. And so, as Paul's manner was, where do we start preaching the gospel? Usually he would go around synagogues and some of the Jewish influenced places. They have no synagogue. Well, where are people hanging out? Well, on the Sabbath day, they have a habit. They're going down by the riverside and they're singing some of the psalms and having prayer. A lot of them are women. And so Paul goes down there, and the Bible says the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, and she responded, and he won over some converts there, Lydia and some others and her family. He kept preaching day by day, and there was a girl who was possessed by demons who people used for a fortune teller, that, you know, sort of a sideshow. And they were profiting over her. And she followed Paul and realized that these men are real. They're the men of God. And Paul says was grieved at her after many days. And he stopped and rebuked the demon. And she was healed of that evil spirit. But it didn't make her handlers happy. They were mad. We have lost. She can't fortune tell anymore by divination. And so they have Paul and Silas arrested. You know, you're messing with our money, the economy here. And so without a trial, they lock Paul and Barnabas up after giving them a good whooping, to which they didn't know that Paul was a Roman citizen. But anyhow, they find their way in jail in Philippi. Acts 16 and verse 20 tells us, "And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." When we preach and teach the gospel correctly, it's going to trouble some people. It's going to get in the way of some people. They trouble our city exceedingly, you know. They're messing with the economy. And they're teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Had a bad response to preaching the gospel and casting out demons. And they're beaten and thrown in jail. And the jailer here, who becomes a character in this story here, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet, made fast their feet in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying, "Praises unto God." And the prisoners heard them. We've been beaten, locked in jail, but we will not quit worshiping God and preaching the gospel and praising God. And the prisoners heard them. Now, if we'd been beaten, thrown in prison, would we be bold enough to continue to preach the gospel and to sing praise unto God? And it's late, too, here, about midnight here. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. People are listening and watching. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands was loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, and he drew his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had all been fled. You know, he's under charge to keep them safe. The prison door's open. He's going to have to answer for that. He's going to do the honorable thing and commit suicide. And Paul cried out with a loud voice, by the way, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." I use that to preach a message one time on suicide prevention. And our response to those who are dealing with depression and anxiety to the point of suicide is, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here. We're here for you." That'll preach. Verse 29, and he called for light, and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul. This has got his attention. He came and fell down before them, trembling. He knew, you know, the Lord is dealing with his heart. He knows something has happened here. These men have been preaching and singing about the gospel of Jesus. The prison's open. Nobody's left. I want to hear what they're saying. And he came before them trembling, obviously in a state of repentance here. And he said unto said unto them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And that's an honest question. He didn't know. If that were to happen to us today, would we say, whatever? No, they don't know. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, that's not that hard, is it? That's not that complicated. We think, well, I can't witness and share the gospel because it's complicated, and I don't know if I can. It is not complicated. We tend to complicate it. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Obviously, he is in a state of repentance. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. You know, they shared the gospel here, the word of the Lord. And to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized. After he was converted, he and all his straightway. And when they had brought him into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God and all of his house. So a good ending to that story, rejoicing and believing all that was in his house. They were happy because he responded to the gospel. The witness of Paul and Silas there as they prayed and sung hymns unto the Lord and the miracle of the earthquake there and all of this. And this man, you know, says, God is speaking to my heart. Now, what do I need to do to get saved? And they told him what to do. And he responded favorably, positively, and got gloriously saved. And many in his house followed suit and was saved and baptized that night. How do I get saved and baptized? Now, we had a little bit in Sunday school today on the day of Pentecost. As the church is born, the Holy Spirit is given, the gospel is preached by Saint Peter. And he preaches the gospel, and the people respond. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, after he preaches the gospel. It is the gospel that brings people to Christ. It is not gimmicks and tricks and programs and all this. It is the gospel. And Peter preached the gospel, and we do well to follow that. Verse 37, Acts chapter 2, now when they heard this, what? About Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection, and that Jesus died for us, and that we are guilty before God. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That means they were convicted. We are guilty before God. It's one thing for us to tell people they're guilty, but I want to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit tells us that we are guilty, that's a different manner, isn't it? That's an altogether different thing. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict of sin, to convince people. You can't convince people that they're sinners and they need to be saved. But the Holy Spirit can convince us and does here to this crowd of people. And it says, when they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We don't know what to do. We're lost and we realize that we're under conviction. What do we do? I don't feel right before God. I don't have peace in my heart. Help me. What can we do? Peter didn't say, just sign this card, repeat this prayer after me, and you'll be okay. Listen to what Peter said. Men and brethren here, what shall we do? How do we get saved here? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For unto you is the promise, unto you and your children, and all that are far off, and as many as will call on the name of the Lord, unto the Lord our God shall call. There has to be that calling, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received the word were baptized. The same day they were added to the church about 3,000 souls. Men and brethren, what shall we do? The gospel is not complicated. It is not. The Bible tells us that when our Lord Jesus was about the age of 30 years old, which would have made him an adult in Jewish society, he goes to John the Baptist to be baptized, submits himself to the baptism of John. He goes into the wilderness and is tempted for 40 days. And when he begins preaching, his message is not complicated. It is not something that is hard to follow. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, and after that John was put in prison, Jesus came forth into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What preaching the gospel means, good news. The good news of the kingdom of God. There are people who are living in this world that don't know there's anything other than this here, this life. And many of them today are broken, and they're wondering, is this all there is? And we have the Word of God to be able to tell them there is more. There is the kingdom of God, and it is available, and this is good news. Yes, there is more than this. People are in despair today. They're broken, and we've never seen society so broken as what it is today. You know, every week after week, a man this past week killed, what, 5 or 6 people down there in Mississippi, a 7-year-old kid, and just craziness. Society melting down and wondering, because they do things like that because they're driven mad. Is there nothing else? And Jesus said, I have good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Wow. How can it be that simple? These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is available. We don't have to live as though this broken world is all there was to it about. We can live in another plane, in another place. The kingdom of God is not just available when we die and go to heaven, if we're saved. The kingdom of God is present now. We can live in the kingdom. We have a dual citizenship. Yeah, we're alive here in this world, but we're also citizens of the kingdom. We can live under the rule of God now. It is available now. That is the good news. You don't have to wait till you die to experience the goodness of God. The kingdom of God is available. It's at hand. And how do we get there? Simple. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. That ain't rocket science. But people don't know it. How do I get saved and baptized? Repent and believe the gospel. Believe it in the simplicity of it. Many people choose to reject the gospel based on its simplicity. Well, that's simple. There must be more. Naaman the Syrian rejected the healing that Elisha had for him because he said, this is too simple. He wanted something more elaborate, something. And finally, one of his aides convinced him. If it had been something complicated, you'd have tried it, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, why not give it a try? And so for those, maybe you've rejected the gospel based on your intellect, thinking it is too simple, why won't you give it a try? Naaman did, dipped 7 times in the Jordan River, and came out whole. The things of God are not complicated. We make them complicated because we like complication. We say we don't, but we do. We thrive on complication. Look at our government. How complicated. They love it. They love all the chaos and all that complication. Nothing is simple anymore. The gospel is. It hasn't changed, and we dare not try to change it. How do I get saved and baptized? It's simple. Repent and believe the gospel. What about baptism? How do I get baptized? How do I go about that? Well, we shared with you last week how the church has ordinances. We have the ordinance of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and the church administers those things, and that's a part of the ministry of the church. We believe the church sanctions baptizing. You know, we administer the rite of baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We are commissioned to do those things. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What qualifies me to be baptized? If you've been saved, you need to be baptized. And saved comes first. Amen? When Philip the evangelist, who was one of the original deacons, when he goes and he shares with the Ethiopian eunuch, who is a proselyte, but he shares with him Jesus. And as he is sharing with him Jesus in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at same scripture and preached to him Jesus. That's what people need to hear about, Jesus. If you ever get tired of hearing about Jesus in this church, run me out of here. Show me the door. I'm going to try to preach Jesus as long as I'm able. And as they went on the way, there came to a certain water, and the eunuch said to him, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Do I need to be baptized? A lot of people, you know, we say, well, everybody ought to know that. Well, they don't know these things. They don't know how to get saved. They don't know when they need to be baptized. Here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? What do I need? He's asking him, do I need to be baptized? Philip said unto him, if thou believest with all thine heart. You know, we believe in believer's baptism. You need to be a Christian. You need to get saved first, and then baptism comes, and that is your public declaration of what has happened to you, and that is an act of obedience, that we're following Christ, and we publicly state that. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you know what? Philip said, that's good enough for me, brother. And he baptized him. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he baptized him. Can I be baptized? Do you believe? What do you believe about Jesus? Can you match his response? He said, if thou believest in all thine heart. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's good enough, and he baptized him. How do I get saved and baptized? Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, what's complicated about that? The time is fulfilled. That means that it's urgent, the sense of urgency. The time is now to do these things. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent while it is today and believe the gospel. That's what you got to do to be saved. Many times we wonder about children, and I learned early in my ministry at Blues Chapel to believe children. They're honest. They speak from the heart. Some people say, well, I don't know about that child getting saved. They look pretty young to me. Well, it ain't up to me. Amen? It ain't up to me. Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. There's a great story, and Alex, I didn't give you this, so you just hold where you're at. In the Old Testament, about Samuel. Samuel's mother prayed for him. She was childish, and God answered her prayer, and she said, I'm going to dedicate this child to God's service. And she carried him to the old priest, Eli, the temple, when he got old enough, and said, I've prayed for this child, and I promised the Lord I would dedicate him to his service. I want him raised in the house of God. And he was. And the little feller, he had his room there where Eli was the priest and all. In the third chapter of 1 Samuel, there's a story about the young man. It says at this time, Samuel's a child, and he really hadn't experienced the presence of God. He didn't really know about the things of God. He was just sort of doing what he was told and being obedient. And it says there, you know, there wasn't much going on at that time in Israel. Wasn't no open vision, wasn't a whole lot going on. There was some bad things going on in Eli's house. But one night, the Lord spoke to this child, Samuel, a little boy. The Lord spoke to his heart, and he's speaking to our children's heart today. And he got up. He didn't know the Lord at this time, but he knew somebody's speaking to me. And he went to Eli, and he woke the old man up, and he said, I'm here, for you call me. I didn't call you, son, going back to bed. And the Lord called him again. And he went and he woke the old man up again. He said, yeah, you call me. No, I didn't call you, son. You must be dreaming. Go on back to bed. You're just a child. Well, God couldn't be speaking to this child. He just didn't even cross his mind. I'm talking about Eli, who is the priest. And the third time God spoke to this little child, and he got up and he went back. He said, you did speak to me. You did call me. And the Bible says on the third time that it finally realized, Eli finally dawned on him. Yeah, something's going on here. It took three times for Eli to realize that God was speaking to a child. It might take, hopefully it don't take us that long. Sometimes we're like Eli, and kids will say little things to us that we throw aside and what have you. Eli said, it says he realized, you know, it came to him. He realized. I'll read this verse 8 in chapter 3. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. We need to perceive when God is dealing with children and know that he can. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down and listen to the Lord." That's pretty good, too. "If it be he call you, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant here.'" So Samuel went and lay down. He said, he gave him good advice. "What I tell my kids, it scares me to death. They ask me to tell them to listen to the Lord." Eli was a little hard-headed, took him three times, but he gave him good counsel. He said, "Go and lie down, and if he speaks to you again, listen to him." Listen to the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Obey the Spirit of God that speaks to your heart. That's simple too. That wasn't complicated, was it? Tell them what Eli told Samuel. "If he calls thee again, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear thee.'" So Samuel went to lay down, and the Lord did indeed talk to him again. And that's the way it works. If the Lord is dealing with your heart, listen to him. You don't need me to tell you anything. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Brother Danny is going to come, and we're going to finish up here this morning. There may be somebody here today or somebody listening who genuinely don't know, how do I get saved and baptized? I've tried to share with you the Word of God. Not what I say, but what God's Word says. Jesus said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Believe the gospel. "What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." Let's stand together this morning. Everybody doesn't know this. We were raised in church. We know these things, but everybody don't know them, but they have a right to know it, because Christ tasted death for every man. It is our business to tell them these things. If you're here today, you've not been saved, I've tried to tell you what to do. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Come and repent and give your life to Jesus. Ask him into your life. And then the baptism, if you've been saved, you need to be baptized. Saved first, baptized second. Shall we sing?